Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Secrets large and small are a fact of human life. The new book, Secrets and Lies, explores the impact of keeping secrets, how they can damage our sense of self, jeopardize relationships, and also the healing power of truth. Author Jane Isay has found people survive learning the most disturbing facts that have been hidden from them, and secret keepers are relieved when they finally reveal themselves and things they are ashamed of to the people they care about. Much depends, Jane Isay writes, on the way of telling and the way of hearing. Isay was both a secret finder and a secret keeper. After 15 years of marriage, her husband admitted he was gay, but together they decided to keep it a secret for the sake of their two sons. Building on her personal experience, 60 intimate interviews, and extensive research into the psychology of secrets, Isay shows in the book how the pain of secrets can be lightened by full disclosure, genuine apology, and certainly over the course of time. Jane Isay is the author of two previous books, Walking on Eggshells, about parents and their adult children, and Mom Still Likes You Best, about adult siblings. It's a great pleasure to welcome Jane Isay back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
A delight. What brought you to this? I mean, I mentioned in the introduction, obviously, you being both a secret finder and a secret keeper. What
yes.
got you thinking more about it and in such detail?
Well, you know, after I finished the book about siblings, it seemed to me that there was one big subject that really hadn't been dealt with, that I had expertise not only because I was going to interview people, but because I had experienced it myself. I had been both a keeper and a finder, and I knew a lot about how I felt, which was the grounding for my going out and listening to dozens and dozens of people telling their stories. And I think it's an important subject because we all keep secrets.
And there are large secrets and small secrets, and I want to get to that in a moment, but is every secret a lie in some way?
Well, a secret is a fact that we are suppressing and not talking about. And it has energy. Not necessarily a lie. It could be something you're not talking about, and it's so deep in your past or in your life, or so insignificant that you're not really lying, you're just kind of wandering around it. You know, if you throw a party, it's a party. Throw a surprise party, and it's a secret, it has energy. That's the simplest one I can think of.
One of the things that you point out in the book, and I think this is so important, is that we can label something a secret, is that I'm not telling you something. But that's very different than what you may know innately or just know from the situation, right?
Right, but I think the most... this is a book about people who have secrets about themselves.
Right.
I've come to believe that the one secret you may not tell is somebody else's secret. It's not your business.
And
except when there's child abuse. But this is an internal matter deep in our hearts, and I found most people really don't want to be secret keepers. They don't want to be liars, but they don't know what to do.
You mentioned this as you write in the book, that much depends on the way of telling and the way of hearing.
Yeah.
And I assume, and you certainly write about this beautifully, timing is very important, isn't it?
Sure, and here's the thing about timing. Let's say you do something that you really, really are ashamed of, and you're so worried about what's going to happen when you tell the person you love the truth, you say, I'll put it off. Oh, I'm not going to, it's not a good time. It's never a good time. And then, if you wait long enough, there are two issues that the person who finally learns has to deal with. One is the fact, and the other is the fabric of lies that have covered over the fact. And people can be equally angry about the secret and about the lies.
I think we've all heard the scenario, and either are familiar with it or intimately familiar with it, where we hear the scenario of, okay, there's the spouse who is cheating, and
yeah.
and decides that there is the decision to be made to tell the spouse that it was a one night stand or that they were cheating.
Right.
So do you tell them and destroy the marriage, or if you can quote unquote get away with it, do you then just suffer yourself? And I've heard psychologists say, well, then yes, you keep that, because then you do the reformation on your own self, and make the situation better if that is indeed what you want to do. But then that's still, to me, propagating a secret and a lie, right?
Yeah, well, I think that there are, I think so, and I, you know, everybody can make their own decision tree about how to deal with it. I think that the person who is being deceived picks up a sense of something being weird, and that really is hard on the person being deceived, because you don't know, you feel something, you feel like you're a creepy person, not trusting your spouse. And if it's really a one night stand, and the adulter, the one night stander wants to put that marriage together, there's a way in which it can be done with honesty, although that may be harder. But once you start keeping secrets from your spouse, a kind of intimacy goes away, and that's one of the major points in Secrets and Lies, that the more secrets you keep, the less close you can be to the people you care about, because you're always. You know, you're always thinking, oh, my God, I can't say that.
Right. Right. The subtitle of the book is Surviving the Truths
yeah.
That Change Our Lives. Do you believe that there, I mean, in your personal situation
yeah.
of being, again, being a secret finder and then a secret keeper, do you feel the silver lining for you was what, in the sense of when you look back at this situation mm-hmm. of how there is the survival and then there is
sure.
change, which I assume in many cases was a positive change?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I think that as human beings, we are capable of dealing with all kinds of unpleasant facts. And we learn to deal with them and to create the life that we want to create despite the difficulties, the hard truths. In my case, my late first husband, who told me that he was gay when we were married 15 years, and I were determined to keep the family together, even when we divorced, we found ways to be kind to one another because there was no point in allowing the misery and the anger to create miserable, angry people. Now, this was a deal we made, and it had its prices, too. Now, my sons were very angry when we told them that they hadn't known earlier, but we talked and talked and talked. We've talked for 30 years about it, and I think everybody is at peace by now, but there's so much conversation that you have to have when you're a secret keeper. The person who has been deceived needs to hear again and again your reasons, your thinking, and you need to discuss it without anger on either side.
And at one point, and here again, I'm gonna throw in the ingredient of time, because
yeah.
that really plays a role as far as diminishing the anger, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I think it's a combination of time and talk.
Yeah.
If you
and
are...
And understanding.
What?
And understanding.
And understanding. And it has... Once the conversation begins about the secret that's been kept, honesty really needs to be there. If somebody's kept a secret and starts dancing around the truth, that's hard. So there has to... The person who is now revealing the secret needs to be prepared, A, for anger, B, for rage, for I never want to see you again, and needs to hold that rage from the person they've been betrayed kind of in their hand until it calms down. And there needs to be a kind of repentance and a kind of understanding if you want to heal the relationship. If you don't want to heal the relationship, you can tell the truth and the person says, you rat, and you walk out and slam the door. That's another way to do it.
You end the book by talking about how sharing sad truths makes us stronger. Yeah. And I assume we're defining any sad truth as something that puts tension into a relationship, yeah. makes one person certainly look bad in a lapse of judgment, and something that they have done that I would assume at some point they regret.
Well, I think there are hard truths that some people want. I think there's more to it than that. I agree with you, but sometimes life throws you a curve, and it's a hard truth, as I end the book with my second husband's death. The fact that he accepted that he was dying was amazing to me. He was afraid to go to the doctor, but the fact that he could allowed us to have that time together and to talk about everything in the world. It was such an intimate moment because we didn't walk away from a fact that was nobody's fault. And I think that many times people get into trouble and they keep secrets, and if we're going to judge them and call them bad and call them sick, we're losing the possibility of a continuity. You can only be betrayed by somebody you love. You can't be betrayed by the grocer.
Right.
Or even someone you work with. So the fabric of that relationship, that connection, is strong, and it need not always be destroyed. Sometimes it is. And I'm not saying that everybody should get together and hug each other, but standing on the truth, my mantra is, at least I know, if you can stand firmly, it's like standing on a big rock, a boulder, at least I know, now I have to move on.
And as you point out, people survive learning this, and there is strength in that learning and that understanding.
That's right. And, life is a... I'm old enough to know that you never stop getting lessons. Sometimes I say, please, could I have a recess from school? I've had enough lessons.
Enough with the lessons.
Enough with the lessons. But the fact is that we are... As human beings, we are capable of deceiving, we are capable of denying, and we are capable of recovering. And if you don't see, you need to see the whole human capability as you look at these issues. Because if you only see one, then you are dividing up our species in a way that I don't think is helpful.
We spoke a moment ago, and you talked about the importance of both time and talk, and we talked about the time aspect of it. But that talk aspect, once you have the conversation, I would think
yeah.
certainly for the secret keeper to
yeah.
bring it up again and again and again is scratching at a wound, but that's necessary in the overall healing.
Well, I think that if the secret keeper really, really wants to heal it, and many don't, but if you really want to heal the breach, then you have to take what you get. And you may get annoyed, and you may want to walk out of the room, you walk out of the room. But there is justice in the rage and the concern of the person who's been betrayed. And if you want to get back, want to create some kind of relationship, you have to take it.
The book is Secrets and Lies, Surviving the Truths That Change Our Lives. It is published by Doubleday. Jane, I say it's always a great pleasure to speak with you, and the book was fascinating and beautifully told, and I thank you very much for sharing
well,
with us this
you.
Morning.
It's great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, Secrets and Lies, Surviving the Truths That Change Our Lives. It is published by Doubleday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.